Well, good morning, everyone. We were here 3-4 years ago, I believe, something like that, back in 2018 or maybe the beginning of 19. So it's good to see all of you again, and we've heard good news of what the Lord is doing in your midst. So what I'm going to do this morning in the hour that we have, I'm going to give half the time to the report of the work in Papua New Guinea. And for some of you, most of you, I'm not sure, this might be totally new. Not sure how many of you were here 3-4 years ago when I gave a report. But the Lord's been doing great things in New Guinea. He's answered a lot of our prayers. So the first half I'm going to give to the presentation and the report of the work in New Guinea. And then the second half, we'll open up God's Word and I'll preach to you from Matthew chapter 28. So let's get into the presentation here. As you can see from the title, it's Pioneer Gospel Missions. And that's what we're all about in Papua New Guinea. Our goal in going to New Guinea, and one of you already asked, we've been there almost 10 years now. Our initial trip to New Guinea was in 2013, so almost 10 years. And our initial goal was to settle in an area where there weren't any Christians, to do a pioneer work, where there were no Christians, where there were no evangelical churches, where no man was preaching the gospel. And so I made a bunch of survey trips around the country, and the Lord settled us in the village of Moka. And that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. But before I do that, I want to answer this question. Oh, that's right. Oh, I'd forget. Okay, I always like to begin the presentation with this question. What's a missionary? So I'm standing up here before you, and you would probably say, I'm a missionary, as the title has already been used. What is a missionary? What is missions? And I want to answer that from two passages in the scriptures from Paul. If we would ask, you know, who's the most well-known missionary of the New Testament, I'm sure we'd all answer and agree, Paul. And not just Paul, though, the missionary teams of the New Testament, we think of others who traveled with him and did missionary work. But notice two things that Paul says when it comes to missions. Paul, what is a missionary? What's missions in the New Testament? How should we carry out missions? How should we do missionary work? Notice two things that he says. The first from Romans chapter 15. And he says here what his goal is, what his aim is, what his purpose is as a missionary. And he says very clearly here in Romans 15 that it's to go to places where there are no Christians, to preach the gospel where Christ hasn't yet been named. And that was our goal in going to New Guinea. When we think of missions in 2022, in our generation, this must also be considered. This needs to be one of the main points when we're seeking to carry out the Great Commission in our day and age. Where is the gospel not gone? That was Paul's goal. That's our goal. That should remain our goal as we do missions in 2022 and on into the future until the work of the Great Commission is completed. So that's one, but also another passage that Paul says here to the Corinthians. Okay, before Paul went to the Corinthians, before a church was started there, there were no Christians, right? There was not an evangelical presence. So Paul could say, we were the first to come to you. And when we have gone now to Moka and to New Guinea where we are, we can say the same thing. We were the first to come to these people with the gospel. There were no Christians there. There might be one believer now. So we've been there a few years. We settled in 2018. But we can say the same thing as Paul. We're the first to bring the gospel to these people. In the villages where we minister, there's about a dozen or so. No Christians. No evangelical presence. No evangelical churches. No one's preaching the gospel there except me in this entire region of Papua New Guinea. So that's why we went. That was the purpose in going, just like Paul says here in these two passages. So I briefly went through this, but it's important to ask and answer this question. What is a missionary? And again, Paul, as the main missionary, we could say, of the New Testament, these are two things that he says when it comes to missions, to doing the work of missions, and we should continue to do the same type of missions work in our day and age. So here's the next picture in the presentation, a map of Papua New Guinea. Okay, I have two places highlighted. The one is Moka, where we live. That's the village where we are. And it's in a people group. Okay, that's the term we use in Papua New Guinea. New Guinea has almost 1,000 people groups, language groups. The country that has more, there's only one other country with more people groups, that's India. Okay, over 2,000. Okay, New Guinea only has, though, 8 or 9 million people with about 1,000 different language groups. And we are in one of those language groups. Some of you may know my parents are there as well in Papua New Guinea doing missions work, and they're in a totally different language group. So we've settled in this one language group, living in the village of Moka and having a ministry to the surrounding villages around Moka. And these 12 or so villages, they speak their language. And outside of this area, outside of these villages, they speak different languages. So we have a ministry within this one, what we call a language group. The other place I've highlighted on the map is Ukurumpa, and that's the Wycliffe Mission Compound. We're not part of Wycliffe, but we go there a few times a year to get supplies, to get our mail, to do our banking. We use the internet there and such, and then we'll travel back to the area of Moka where our ministry is. And this is north of Australia. If you're not familiar with Papua New Guinea, this is north of Australia. Okay, so here's a zoomed-in picture of the village of Moka where we live. And you can see the houses along the river there, and you can see the location of our house. That was actually the previous house where we live, and we got a more permanent house built. You'll see that as well. So how do we carry out our ministry? I briefly defined missions in one way, bringing the gospel to a new area, but how do we carry out our ministry? And so I'm going to go through that this morning very quickly. If you have questions, feel free to ask questions after this morning's meeting is done. We'll be hanging around for a little bit, and I'll be happy to ask to answer questions. But the first thing that we do, or one of the first things we do, is home evangelism. What's one of the best ways to evangelize, whether it's people here in New Jersey or whether it's people in New Guinea? What's one of the best ways? Well, certainly one of them that we see in the New Testament is going to people's homes or having them into your homes. Right? We see this type of work done in the New Testament. Jesus did it. The apostles did it throughout the book of Acts. And so this is one of the best ways to evangelize. How do we get the gospel into people's homes, into them more personally, on a personal level? Well, we share a meal with them, and then after we have a meal, then I'll open up God's word, and I'll bring them the gospel. And this has been very effective. Not everybody comes to a church meeting, right? Not everyone's going to come to a public meeting where the gospel is preached. So how do you reach them? How do you evangelize them? Go to their homes. Okay, so we'll bring some food. They'll prepare some food as well, and we'll share the meal, and then afterwards I'll open up God's word and we'll preach them. So this is one of the things you can pray for as a church. One of your pastors already mentioned how you pray for us, and that's a great encouragement. Okay, one of the ways you can pray is in this. As we go to the homes each week, usually on a Wednesday night, we'll have this type of ministry, and you could pray that the Lord would bless it. Here's some of the families that we go to. There's about 50 houses in the village of Moka, so about 100 adults. That gives you an idea of the size of the village. Some of the villages around us, I mentioned about 12 or so. Some of them are bigger, obviously. Some of them are smaller. Moka would probably be average for the villages around us. So that's one part of our ministry. Another is what we call itinerant gospel preaching, traveling from village to village to preach the gospel. Okay, one of the questions I like to ask is, what's the main activity of the missionaries of the New Testament, the evangelists of the book of Acts? What's their main activity? And we read through the Gospels, Jesus' ministry, and we read the book of Acts, and their main ministry was preaching. Right? They went out publicly, and they preached the message of the gospel. That's how we evangelize. And you could do it on a personal level. I just talked about that with the people in their homes. But on a more public scale, more public level, we go to the villages, we have meetings, and I preach to the people. And so this is another part of our ministry. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 15, another passage I have up there, and all throughout the book of Acts, right? Most of our Bibles in the back even have Paul's missionary journeys, right? We see the maps of his journeys. What was he doing? He was doing itinerant gospel preaching. And that's one of the main methods of missions in the New Testament, and certainly what we need to be doing when we do missions in our generation as well. So here's another satellite picture of three villages we travel to. You could see the box pointing up river to Moka. And then this is about an hour away on our boat to these three villages. We'll go there about once a month on a Monday, and we'll have meetings in the morning, then at lunchtime, and then in the afternoon at these three villages. When we first started a number of years ago, when we settled in Moka in this area, you know, they didn't know us. They didn't expect us to come. They didn't know our schedule. But over the years now, as we've been doing this, they're used to our ministry and what we're doing. And so this is another main thing that you can pray for regarding the ministry in New Guinea and where we live and minister, that the Lord would bless this itinerant gospel preaching ministry to these villages. And so you can see three of the ones that we go to there. All right, here's a video for you.
Here we are at Saragi. We just finished the meeting here. This is Max's house. He's waving right there. We're going to push the dinghy out. And we're going to head across the water to Sorbo. Every month we come down, we go to the three villages, and then up that way is Kamayo. And we have meetings. We preach. Today I preach from Luke 18. So here they are going to push us up.
So this is one of the trips that we make, and this is a typical trip, starting at that first village you saw in the satellite picture, and then in the afternoons we'll go to the other two as well to do itinerant gospel preaching. And whoever wants to come from the village, they'll come to the meetings. You know, we make an announcement that we're there in the morning or whenever we arrive, and whoever has an interest to hear God's word, they'll come. And so one of our prayer requests years ago, 3-4 years ago, probably the last time we were here, was that the Lord would open up doors for us to have this type of ministry. And the Lord's answered that prayer. And so I hope that encourages you as we've begun to have this type of ministry among the villages, the Lord's opened up doors for us to go. Now we pray that the Lord would draw the people, that they would have a desire to hear his word. This is all new to them, right? There's no Christians. The gospel has never been preached throughout these villages and in this area. So pray that the Lord give them an interest. Pray that the Lord would give them understanding as I preach to them, that they would invite other family to come here as I preach, and that the Lord would begin to save. The end goal, obviously, as we see in the book of Acts, is to see churches started, right? Local churches established. But this is how it begins and how it continues. So as was mentioned already, my wife Melissa is not here. She's down in North Carolina at a medical training school to help her and some of her ministry there in Moca and New Guinea, where we live. And two of the things that she does, I'll talk about them right now, is what we call Operation Newborn, helping mothers with newborn babies. The picture there to the left, the first baby that she delivered. A lot of the babies in New Guinea die before they're even a year old, so she's able to help them practically, and the mothers as well, giving clothes and medicine when needed. And then also another part of her work in our ministry is a general medical clinic, and that's what she's getting more training for right now. And so there's malaria there, there's lots of cuts, there's snake bites, all different kinds of ways that the people get injured and hurt and sick, and she's able to help them. We give out tons of Band-Aids day after day after day. That's just something that we normally do. The main cause of death probably in our area is a poison snake. So these are some of the ways that Melissa's able to help them. And so you could pray as she helps them practically and physically in terms of health, that the Lord would use that to encourage the people, give them a desire to befriend us, to come to the meetings and to hear God's word. So those are some of the areas that Melissa helps and ministers where we are. And here's some other pictures of that as well, her helping us some of these villages that we travel to. And then travel around the country. How do we travel? I'll go through this quickly here. Is it working? Okay, so you saw before one of the first slides, the satellite picture of the entire country of New Guinea, the mission compound down to our village where we live. The only way to get there is on a plane. So we'll fly from the mission compound, and we make this trip back and forth 3-4 times a year, and we'll land at this airstrip. And then we'll take a boat down to the village of Moca, about 2 hours. That's the only way to get back and forth. We're currently building an airstrip in Moca. Hopefully that works out. There's other ways as well. We've used a helicopter at times. There's a plane with floats that we might be able to even land in a river. That's another option. So there's different options we're looking at to be able to travel in and out. But no matter which way it is, it's extremely difficult. That's one of the reasons this area of New Guinea has remained unevangelized. It's just so difficult to get to. Another practical way you could pray is that the Lord would keep us safe as we travel. Here's a video of us traveling on the water from village to village. That's how we get around traveling from village to village. There's no roads, there's no footpaths really where we live. So to get from Moca, our village, to another village to preach or to go to the airstrip, we have to take a boat like that. All right, then translation language. There's no English spoken where we are. So all of it is done in the national language and then their local language. I'm working on learning their local language to preach and also to do some translation. So here's a video of a passage I translated, and then I read to these people. And then I preached it. Okay, it's from John chapter 1. Keep in mind, no Christians. Keep in mind, their language is not written, so I'm writing it for the first time. They've never heard their language read. They don't even know how to read their language. So these are a lot of things that we face in terms of Pioneer Gospel Missions, right? That was the title of this presentation. And this is a lot of what goes on when we seek to do this type of ministry.
Yesu ayan bom de binanao. Emamo ayan bom aya flamina. Emamo bom mana aya furane. Ayana ayan de nena kar iburu. Aya dirava ayan bom bisina. Amena kaina sunema. Wom dina ne sunema. Wom oviso ne sunema. Emamo dirava ayana amena bom atma sunana. Then Luke John 1, line 11, you go to line 13, let's talk place. So then you can tell them let's talk place.
So as I mentioned, that's the passage from John 1. I translated it into their language. It's the passage, if you're not familiar, it says Jesus came to his own people. They didn't receive him, but to everyone who did receive him and believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, not of the will of man, not of the will of the flesh, but born of God. One of the things I've preached on a lot in this area is the need to be born again, the work of the Holy Spirit in them, that they need new hearts. So this is one example of a passage I translated, read, and then I preached throughout all the villages. And certainly this is one of the main things that you can pray for as I translate and preach that the Lord would bless. He would give them ears to hear and hearts to believe this message. So here's some other things that relate to language learning, stories that I get in the language, a dictionary, and then the passage there from Acts chapter 2 that relates to preaching in a different language, right? Peter's preaching, and it says there in Acts chapter 2, everyone hears in their own language, right? It's all these foreigners there, but they hear in their own language, and that's key to this type of work. Pretty much anywhere you go in the world, you're going to have to learn their language to bring the gospel to them. So pray that the Lord would help me to learn their language, to translate, and to preach. This is my dad preaching.
Moon, sun, star, visible ground, water blue, yukula, mountain, bosavi, you know, talk about visible liquid, yamu, bosavi, high mountain, istapla, highlands, nambis.
That's my mom there on the left.
Kind.
So we have workers, evangelism meetings, people will come up at times to help us with certain things. Before we start work, we'll have meetings. That's another opportunity to preach and to bring God's word to them. And then on the Lord's Day as well. So on Sundays, we'll have meetings at the different villages, and I'll preach as well. So as you can see and hear this morning, we're seeking in as many ways as possible to preach God's word to these people, to get the gospel message to these people. Faith comes by hearing, as we read from Paul in Rome. And so the only way they're going to hear, not on the radio, there's no radio there, not the internet, there's no internet there. The only way, as we see in the New Testament, is a human being has to actually go. And that's what missions is all about, right? Someone going to bring the message. And most unevangelized places in the world will require this. Yes, we can use radio in some places and internet. Certainly, that's been a blessing over the past, you know, a number of decades. But in places like this, there's no substitute. Someone has to go. And I appreciate some things that have already been said this morning. The need for new missionaries, right? Jesus has told us to pray that more missionaries would be raised up to do this type of work. The man here on the left, his name is Kobe, and I mentioned earlier, a minute or two ago, one man we believe the Lord may have saved, and this is the man. He's an older man. He's come to the meetings most. He's expressed interest in hearing God's word and the gospel. He says he believes it. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but he's encouraging to us. And pray that he would get baptized. He hasn't been baptized yet. Pray that it would be genuine, right? That the Lord would work in him. So there are encouraging things. The Lord's answered prayer in opening up doors. The Lord's answered prayer in people coming to meetings. And the Lord's answered prayer, we believe, with this man who says that he believes in Christ and the gospel. So pray that it would continue and that more people would be saved and churches started.
This is Sunday, August 29th, 2021. Here at Dufa. Every other week we come down, have a meeting down here. We're underneath Joe's house. This is Joe right here. Is this his house? Dufa's about 5 minutes down the river from Moka. 10 minutes maybe. Tomorrow we're going to go down to the other three villages. So this is what an underside of the house looks like. And these are the people who came. I preach from Ezekiel 36.
All right, and one final area that we seek to get God's word into the community. Sunday afternoons, we'll have some coffee with people, and then I'll have an opportunity to preach as well.
It is 4th of July, 2021. We're doing coffee night here at Mocha with some Soksak. Lucas is cooking. These are all the people who came. This is our last coffee night until we go back for... There's David over there with his family. It'll be December Sunday night. And I'll speak God's word for a little bit. It's an opportunity to evangelize and sit with the people to talk.
All right, so some specific people. I'll just mention the guy again there on the top left, Kobe. The one man we believe the Lord may have saved. Pray for others as well. We could tell many stories. You may know of our website. If you don't, grab a prayer card on the table out here. My wife writes a blog, gives a lot more personal information, stories about the people. There's many people we could talk about. But just for this morning and the time that we have, think of Kobe. Pray for Kobe. He is an older man, as I mentioned. He's not healthy. So pray that the Lord would preserve him physically and that he would be genuinely saved. Partnership. I want to publicly thank you as a church for your partnership with us. I know you pray. I know that you give, and it's a great blessing to us. It encourages us, and it helps us to continue to do the work in New Guinea. First thing I'll mention after that is prayer, partnership in prayer, the things I've listed here. But go to the website as well, some other practical things. I mentioned some others this morning as well, language, preaching and evangelizing, all these things that I've mentioned, pray for the Lord to work. Projects we got done, the house, that was a big one, obviously, getting the house built. The boat so that we could evangelize throughout the area. That was a short video of the boat. Those two projects. Continued projects. If you're interested, you could help with continued projects, ongoing projects. Current projects that we have, you could help out with those if you'd like. A quote from William Carey, you know, one of my favorite missionaries, a missionary hero, said, "I'll go to India, but you have to hold the ropes." And it's a great illustration of partnership. And again, your church is partnering with us, and we want to thank you for that. And then joining us on the field. We're praying that the Lord would raise up others. And it's, I think it's read and prayed this morning. Maybe the Lord would raise up a couple from your church to come join us, or not necessarily us, but other places in this world that remain unevangelized. That's what I'm going to preach about now in the next few minutes, the need to evangelize the world so that the work of the Great Commission would be completed. So this is one area. If you're interested in joining us, we need help. Contact us about that. And then this is the last slide, our website. Again, grab a prayer card on the table out here. I went through the presentation quickly this morning because of time, but go to the website. You could see more pictures and videos there, things about support and projects, prayer points. A lot of the stuff's on the website. We have a email that we sent out monthly whenever we can. You could sign up for that on the website if you'd like to get those. Melissa's blog is there as well. And if you have questions after the meeting, I'll be happy to answer them. So that's the end of the presentation. Again, thank you for your partnership with us, and I'm glad for the opportunity that I had to come this morning and give a report of the work in New Guinea. The Lord's answered a lot of our prayers, and he's made it possible for us to be there to begin this ministry. Pioneer Gospel Missions is starting something totally new, starting something from scratch, and the Lord's answered so many prayers leading up to where we are today in 2022, for us to be there and to have this type of ministry. So we praise God and we thank him for your partnership with us. Well, now for the second half of our time this morning is opening up God's word, and I want to preach to you for about half an hour or so from the book of Matthew. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. A well-known passage, Matthew 28. Let me begin at verse 16 here. We've read through this many times, I'm sure, as Christians in our lives. It says here, Matthew 20, beginning of verse 16, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw Jesus, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. And Jesus came and said to his disciples, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" So, well-known passage, known as the Great Commission, right? We've read this many times in our lives. And isn't it true, the last statement that someone says before they leave, before they quit a job, retire, before they die, is very significant. The last statement, the last command someone will give is very significant. That's exactly what we see here. Jesus is going to leave. And no other man in history has left the way he did, ascended up into heaven. But this is his last statement, his last command to his disciples, the Great Commission. And it's not just for the disciples then. It's for Jesus' disciples in this very room, for his disciples today, in our generation as well. That's one of the things that William Carey had to speak against. People during his day and age, a few hundred years ago, saying that this passage doesn't apply to us. But it does. And that's some of the things I'm going to speak about this morning. So I got 3 points, and we'll go through them here in the passage here in Matthew chapter 20. And the first is this, the authority behind the commission. Okay, and that's clearly seen here in our text. Look back at verse 18, the first words out of Jesus' mouth. "All authority has been given to me." What has been given to Christ? He's been given authority. It says very clearly here in our text. And the question we can ask here, is it true that Jesus has been given all authority? I mean, this is an amazing statement, right? A man stands up before the world, before his disciples, and this word still comes to us today, and he says, "All authority is mine." The question we can ask is that true? Is it true that this man has been given all authority? And certainly as Christians, we know that it is true. Well, who gave him this authority? Who gave him this authority? He could have said, "All authority is mine," right? But he doesn't put it that way. He says, "All authority has been given to me." And based on what we read in the New Testament throughout Scripture, we know that the answer is God the Father. His Father has given him this authority, bestowed upon him this position. A cross-reference we could turn to is Philippians 2, where it says God the Father has highly exalted Christ and bestowed upon him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Christ every knee will bow. Right? God the Father has given him this title, given him this position, given him this authority. Well, how much authority? Jesus clearly says all authority in heaven and on earth. In other words, there's no place in the universe where Christ doesn't have authority. Everywhere, in church, in family, to the nations, the entire universe, Christ owns it all, and he has authority over it all. He has authority over all peoples, over all companies and governments and laws and militaries and nations and presidents. Jesus has authority to rule. Jesus has authority to reign. Jesus has authority to command. And no human has any position or authority to speak against him or to disobey his commands. And one clear command, a commission that he gives to us this morning and throughout this age is the commission to evangelize the world. So because of his authority, we shouldn't talk back. We shouldn't disagree. We shouldn't disregard. We should not disobey the command that Jesus so clearly gives because of the authority that he has. Right? Imagine your parent or your teacher or your employer or the president said, "Go do this." They don't have all authority. And there's some point where we could disagree with others, but not with Christ. He has all authority. And when he commands, we are required simply to obey. That's it. Because of the authority that this man, the God-man, has. Well, quickly, that was the first point, the authority that's behind the commission. Well, what's the commission itself? We'll look back here at verse 18. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, so go make disciples." Okay, the command, the specific command, is to make disciples. So notice how he puts it here, because of my authority, so go make disciples. We are to go make disciples, evangelize the world, because of this authority that he has. That's the commission. Notice that it is in the context of him having all authority. Jesus could have said other things, but notice all the things he didn't say. Notice the one thing he did say, "I have all authority, so go make disciples." That's what he did say. Here in our context, in Matthew chapter 28. Well, to whom does he give this commission? To whom does he give this command? Clearly in the context, it's to his disciples. And now some people say it was just the 11. I tend to think it was more, it was other disciples as well. But even beyond that, this word comes to us today. And this day in 2022, this word comes to us. Okay, it's not just the 11. It's not maybe a few other 100 disciples 2,000 years ago. This word comes to you as a disciple, as a Christian today. So receive this word from Christ this morning. He speaks this word and it comes to you now. This is not an old word. This is not a word that we throw out. This is a living word that we must receive today. And we hear the voice of Christ coming to us this morning from this text. Jesus speaks to us. Go make disciples. I have all authority. I own the universe. So what should we do? Go make disciples of all the nations. So if you're a believer in Christ, this command comes to you. There's no way to get out of it. There's no way to say, "Well, I'm a Christian, but this command is for other people. It's not for me." If you're in the category of Christian, a disciple, a follower of Christ, a believer in him, then you're in that part, you're in that group, and this command comes to you. Is it a suggestion? Is it an opinion? Of course not. The one who owns the universe, the Lord of everything, the master of you and me, he does not give a suggestion. He doesn't give his opinion. He gives a command. What should our response be? I hope after this you go home later today and you think about this. Christ, the one who has all authority, has told his people, and if you're one of them, you're part of that crew, he has told us to do this work. How should you respond? That's one of the applications that I want to give you this morning. Go home and think about this. Pray about this. That we collectively, it doesn't come to us as an individual. So don't think, "Well, I have to do it all." No, it doesn't come to us as individuals. Jesus speaks this to his disciples. But as an individual, how should you respond? Well, go do what? Notice here in verse 18, he says, "All authority is mine, so go make disciples of all the nations." What are we supposed to go do? He says here, "Go make disciples." Again, notice all the things he doesn't say. He doesn't say, "Go start schools." He doesn't say, "Go build buildings." He doesn't say, "Go start hospitals." Yeah, all those things are fine. But notice all the things Jesus doesn't say. This is extremely important, especially in our day and age, where the term missions, okay, that's why I asked and answered that question in the beginning of the presentation. What is missions? What is this commission all about? It's about going to make disciples. Jesus said it in another way, "Go preach the gospel to every creature." Again, notice all the things he didn't say. I want you to think about that. All the things he could have said, all the things he didn't say. But notice the one thing he did. Go make disciples. That is our requirement. That is the commission that current believers, those who exist as Christians today, in our day and age, are to go make other Christians, other disciples. That's the commission. Here, throughout New Jersey, throughout your community, throughout the world. And that's our next point here. Still under the commission itself, where do Jesus' followers have to go make disciples? He doesn't say only to Jerusalem, only to Judea or Samaria. Okay, we read in Acts chapter 1, "Go to the ends of the earth." Okay, Jesus made that very clear many times throughout the Gospels, right? He didn't just say it once. You know, sometimes we read one thing in the Bible and it's like, "Well, that's only mentioned once." You know, sometimes it could be a little unclear, uncertain. Jesus mentioned it many times. We are to evangelize the world. Christ owns the world. He has authority over the world, over every individual. He wants the world to be evangelized. Not just part of it, not just some of it, the entire world, all the nations. And that's very clear. Okay, you're probably not going to learn much here. We've read this many times, right? But I hope this comes with new power from the Spirit this morning in a new way, for you to consider this again, for you to respond to it in a new way this morning. That's my prayer. Where should we go? We are to go to all the world. As some of you might know, the website Joshua Project, it categorizes people groups of this world. I talked about New Guinea this morning very briefly, about 1,000 people groups. To me, that's astonishing. India has about 2,500 people groups, language groups in it. China is number 3 with about 500-600 people groups. The entire world has about 17,000 people groups. And that's how we should consider the world. That's the emphasis of the New Testament. Peoples, nations, languages. That's the language of the New Testament. We are to go to all of them. And according to Joshua Project, it's a Christian website, about 7,000 people groups remain unevangelized. Let that sink in. Maybe this is new. Maybe some of you have heard this before. How should we respond to that? This is 2,000 years after Christ gave this commission. It's been a long time. One generation, our generation, could evangelize this world. One question we should ask is, why aren't we? We have the resources. America alone could evangelize the world. I'm talking about Christians in America. Our nation alone, with the resources, the time, the money, we could easily evangelize this world. There's only, now, 7,000, that's a big number. But there's more than 7,000 good churches in America. Imagine every church said, you know what? We're going to target one of these unevangelized people groups. We're going to evangelize this world in our generation. We could do it. One question we need to ask is, why has it not been done? According to the same website, Joshua Project, there's about 8 billion people on planet Earth, and about 3 billion out of those 7,000 people groups that are unevangelized, that comprises about 3 billion people that remain unevangelized. Similar to the report you just saw from OCHA, an unevangelized people group. That's the kind of place I'm talking about. As I mentioned, unevangelized peoples. They're in China, they're in India, they're in the Middle East, they're in Africa, they're in South America, they're all over. They remain unevangelized. It's our responsibility as Christians, as the church, to do this work. And Jesus makes that very clear here. He's speaking to his disciples. And I hope you hear his voice speak to you this morning from his word. And that we, as his people, would respond. Again, not individually, though that's where it starts, but collectively, corporately as the church, that we would take this seriously and respond in an amazing way, a deliberate way. So Jesus says here, all authority is mine, so go make disciples of all the nations. And I just want to briefly mention here some excuses that professing Christians give why not to do it. Maybe you have some of these excuses. I just want to bring some of them to light. You know, we're in the missionary circle. We've met a lot of other missionaries. We've traveled different places in this world. We know New Guinea, obviously. And these are excuses that I hear often. So I want to read some of them. And if some of them are true in your own heart and life, pray about them. Consider them. Ask the Lord to work in you regarding these excuses. Okay, some people say that they're too old. You know, it's like you pass 50 years old and you're too old. You know, sometimes you hear that. Some people say it's too far away. Right? You know, the Middle East is too far. China's too far. New Guinea's too far. It's too remote. It's too isolated. I have to quit my job. I can't get the money. I have to sell my house. I have to move. I have to leave my family. I don't want to learn a new language. But I talked about language in the presentation. You have to learn a new language. If you're going to China or India or New Guinea, you're going to have to learn a new language. That's not impossible. Every one of us in this room knows a language. I don't want to learn a new language. Or my kids are too important. Their health, their school, their friends. I hear that one all the time. We're reading this passage this morning from Matthew 20, and Jesus, the God-man who owns the universe, who says, I have all authority. Okay, our kids are not more important. Only seminary graduates or someone else can do it. Men in the ministry. That's an excuse. Well, I might get sick. I might even die. That's an excuse. It's too difficult. It's too dangerous. And I can continue. Those are the ones I have here in my notes. Excuses. Are some of those excuses true in your life? Pray about them. Consider them. Think about it. Maybe you see them in other people's lives, people in your family, other people in your church. Challenge each other. Encourage one another. Pray for one another. If some of these excuses are real. That nothing would hinder us from obedience to the command of Christ. Right? Now, we're focusing this morning specifically on the Great Commission. Now, obviously, we could talk about many other areas of the Christian life. We should never have an excuse to disobey, right? When it comes to marriage, when it comes to church, when it comes to the Lord's Supper, whatever area of the Christian life, there's never a valid excuse when it comes to the Great Commission. And here in the context of Matthew 28, Jesus again says, I have all authority. I own all of you. I've purchased you with my blood, so I doubly own you. So go do this work. No excuse will stand before him. Let's continue here. Still under the commission itself, what two actions does Jesus give, tell us to do as we go do missions? He says here, teach and baptize. At first baptize and then teach. And I just want to highlight teach here in this passage this morning. Teach what? Notice what he says here. Teach them to obey, observe, keep, follow everything I've commanded. I mean, that's an amazing statement, right? Jesus says to us as his disciples, go to the world, make disciples everywhere on this planet, and tell them, teach them to obey everything I've commanded. I mean, what an amazing statement, right? Follow this completely. Don't be like some people who tear up pages and say, I don't like that. But to teach everything that I've commanded. Not some things, not the passages that are only easy to receive, but all things. Paul made it very clear in the book of Acts that he didn't shrink back from declaring the entire counsel of God. All the word of God, right? Not just some things. You know, we live in a day and age where people don't want to declare all of this. And they don't even want to teach Genesis chapter 1 anymore. You know, let alone throughout to the end, and we read Revelation this morning. Jesus says to teach everything that I've commanded. Not just the stories. You know, I've heard things like that. Missionaries go out and they just teach about Daniel and David and Joseph and, you know, some other stories. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Christianity is more than stories. It's about the reality of Christ in the gospel. We are not just to teach the unoffensive passages. Not only the positive texts. You know, we live in a day and age, especially here in America, people don't want to hear the unoffensive things. Well, don't talk about hell. You know, nobody wants to hear about that. Don't talk about marriage. Nobody wants to hear about that. So, you know, might as well cross everything out. That's the day and age we live in. But notice what Jesus says. He doesn't say pick and choose what to teach. He says teach them to obey everything I've commanded. We are primarily to proclaim the message of the gospel. The life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the God-man. What he has accomplished on the cross to save sinners. That's the message we declare to the nations. That in him, a sinless man, sinners like you and I could be justified before God. That's the message we bring to the nations. That's the message we preach here in America. And from your church, we bring to the nations as well. That's the only message they need to hear. We don't need to talk about politics. We don't need to talk about the economy. We don't need more education. Those things are fine in their place, but what we need, what this world needs, is to hear the message of the gospel of Christ, and we are to obey that first and foremost, and that's what Jesus is talking about here. We're to go bring the message of the gospel to the nations. Repentance of sin. There's no gospel without repentance. So when Jesus says here, teach them to obey everything I've commanded, certainly one of those points is repentance of sin. I can't preach a message over in Mocha in the villages there in New Guinea without repentance. Someone can't be saved without repentance. Now, how could you take that out? Repentance must be preached. If a sinner is going to be saved in New Guinea or New Jersey, they're required to repent of their sins. And Jesus says here, teach them to obey everything I've commanded. Jesus said, unless you repent, you'll perish. That's what Jesus said. So that's certainly part of it. Another is to submit to Scripture in everything. We don't follow the opinions of the world. We submit to Scripture in everything, not in some things, in everything. So these are some of the things that Jesus meant when he says here, teach them to obey everything that I've commanded. Christianity is not, you know, you could take some, you could leave some, you could believe some. That's not Christianity. Christianity is believe what Christ has written. And how dare we, as people, created beings, argue with the one who has all authority and say, let's do missions our way. That's the day and age we live in. I talk about some of these things, these points so strongly because this is what I've seen firsthand. People going out into the world, especially New Guinea where we live, and doing missions their way and not even teaching a gospel. And so now let's move on to our third and final point, the promise that comes with the commission. Look here, verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. And he doesn't finish there, right? He gives a promise. So first we saw the authority, number one, that comes behind the commission itself, which we just looked at. Now, number three, the promise that comes with the commission. Well, what's the promise? Jesus says here very clearly, I will be with you. Isn't that amazing? And all the things he said here, he says, I have all authority. Go to all the nations, teach them to obey everything. And he concludes with the promise. Because we're thinking at this point, this is impossible. How are we going to do this work? I mean, think, the 11 disciples, like, how are we going to go evangelize the world? You might be thinking the same thing in this room. A church here in North Jersey, you're thinking, how are we going to affect the world? How are we going to evangelize the world? Do you know why? You know how? Notice the promise Jesus gives here. Jesus speaks to your church this morning from this text, and he says, I will be with you. If you want to obey this command, if you want to obey the commission that Christ gives you, be encouraged. Take heart. With confidence, go and do it. Why? Because Jesus speaks to you as a church, and he says, I will be with you. What other promise do you want? He doesn't say, I'll give you all the money you need. He'll take care of you. We'd be like, okay, we'll have the money to do it. That's not a guarantee. What's the one promise that we can receive that we know for certain missions will be accomplished? It's this promise. Jesus says, I will be with you. And that's the promise he gives to us in our generation. Every generation since he's given this command, this promise is true. Christ is with us as we go do this. And he's always with us. That's what he says here. He doesn't say, I'm going to be with you for the first generation. I'm going to be with you until you do half the work. He says, I'll be with you always. There's nowhere we could go, there's no time we could go in church history where this promise is not true. No matter what we do, no matter where we go, no matter what generation it is, this promise is true. And Jesus says, he'll be with us. Why would we not do it? You know, what other promise could the government or an employer give like this? There's no other promise like this. You know, just imagine if, you know, the greatest person you know in the world, your best friend, the richest person, the most powerful person said, listen, you got this job to do, and I'm going to make sure it happens. You'd be pretty confident, right? Like, wow, this is great. It's going to happen. How much more when this man gives this promise? The God-man himself has declared, I have all authority. Go do this work, and I'm going to make sure it succeeds because I am with you. That's why missions is a guaranteed success. Notice what he says here at the very end. I'm with you always to the end of the age. There's a lot of things we could say about that, but certainly one thing is this age will end. This work is going to go until the end of the age, until the end of this time. This age will end. Now, that's good news to me. I hope it's good news to you as well as a Christian. I don't want to be in a cursed world, right? This age is going to end. All of the corruption, and we prayed about it already in the pastoral prayer this morning, all the negative things, all the death, all the curse that we see around us, I want to be delivered. You as a Christian, you want to be delivered. But we won't be until this work is done. Now, yes, death might meet us first, but think beyond yourself. Think of all of us collectively as the people of God. We have this work to do until it's done. And the end of this age won't come. This curse won't be gone until this work is finished. Jesus talks about that in Matthew chapter 24. Well, in conclusion, why should we go make disciples? Why should we go do this work to the ends of the earth? And I want to give four quick reasons, and then I want to give some final concluding application. Why should we do this? First of all, because Jesus commands it. Right? What other reason do we need? So if you're sitting back, well, okay, should we do this? Should we not? Why should we? The best answer to give, Jesus tells us to do it. He's commanded us. As we mentioned earlier, it's not a suggestion, it's not an opinion. Jesus has commanded. Another reason is because Jesus' people have the only cure for the sin-cursed world. And it's the message of the gospel. Why should we care about the people in Mocha? Why should we care about the people in Africa or in China or in South America? Why? We have the only thing that could save a sinner from this curse and from eternal hell. That's why we should go, right? Imagine we actually had a cure to cure some disease. Why would we keep it to ourselves? That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 1, I'm a debtor. We have something that is of eternal value. Why would we not bring it to the nations? Another reason, because Jesus has his people whom the Father has given him. Not just of the Jews, not just of those in Europe, not just of those in America, but the Father has given Christ his people from all the peoples of this world. And they're part of us. We should seek to win them. They're part of our family. We need to go get them. And it's our responsibility. God's not going to just zap them. He sends his people to bring them the message. And then one final reason, we could give others as well, but briefly here in the conclusion, why should we do missions in this work? One final reason, because it's the main work Jesus has given his followers to do after he rose from the dead. That's what we see here in Matthew chapter 20. It's the main work. Did he tell us to do other things? Of course. Is there other work or ministry that we do as Christians? Of course. But what's the main work of the people of God after Jesus rose from the grave and then ascended to heaven? He says here in Matthew 28, go evangelize the world. It's the main work. So we're here in the conclusion. Let me give some final application. Pre-married kids. Okay, I want to start with you kids. Yeah, there's some kids in this room. Those of you kids who are not married yet, say 20 and under, something like that. The application for you is to seriously consider this work and to pray about it. Don't be tricked and deceived by the world we live in to pursue the American dream, which is fake, which will not last. Consider the words of Christ coming to you this morning. Hear his voice from his word. And you kids, you might think, well, I'm only 5, I'm only 10, I'm only 15. Think about this. Pray about this, that the Lord would bring you into this work to do as an adult, and even to start as a kid. So that's for you kids. Second category is you men, especially you married men. Consider this important command from the Lord. And what's the application for you? Do it. That's it. That's the application. You know, a lot of times we read God's word, we hear a sermon, and say, well, you know, that's great. I learned it. We just go home and nothing happens. How should you men respond to this? Give, go, pray, do something more to obey this command of Christ. That's for you men. For you women, especially you wives, you married women, pray about doing this work with your husbands. Encourage and challenge your husbands to this end. You know, and the reason I say it that way, you might think, you know, why did Caleb put the application that way to the women? As we visited churches, as we've talked to other Christians, usually, and I say this to commend you women, usually it's the women who are more interested in missions, to go, to leave America. And women, I commend you for that. Men, that's usually not the case. All the stories we hear and people talking, the men almost never say it. That's why the challenge came to you extra strong this morning, men. Consider this and do it. Women, continue to be that way. Pray with your husbands about it. Encourage them to do this work. That's the application for you. And then another category is post-65. Okay, you might be thinking, well, you know, I'm 65. I got out of this one. Not so fast. Okay? I got some application for you as well. And the first is this, be prayer warriors, right? Be prayer warriors. Set apart a day every week, Mondays, Thursday mornings, whatever it is, whatever fits with your schedule, and say, you know what? I'm going to pray for missions. I'm going to pray about what Christ has said for myself, for my family, for our church, for the world. Christ, raise up more missionaries. Christ, build your kingdom. Be prayer warriors for the sake of the Great Commission and for the work of the gospel. Be givers. Yeah, you might not be able to go, but you could give. Support others to go do this work. And encourage. One application for you older people in this congregation, even here this morning. Look around, because you're going to know the people better probably than others. Look around. What couple could go onto the mission field? Pray about that. Encourage them to go. Don't just be like, well, I'm not going to go. Encourage others to do it. Look for others who can do it. So that's the application for you older generation. And then the final application is for you as a church collectively. Okay, Bread of Life Church. Pray and fast that the Holy Spirit would send out a couple from your very midst to go do this work. And why do I put it that way? Well, I get that from Acts chapter 13. That's exactly how the first missionaries were sent out. What did the church do? They prayed and they fasted. So do the same thing. Jesus has accomplished the greatest work in human history. He has made a way for salvation. He has conquered sin. He has overcome Satan. He has made a way for sinners to be delivered from hell. No other man in history has or could accomplish this mission. And in light of that work which he has done, and by his authority he received from accomplishing it, he calls, he commands those who believe and follow him to continue this mission by going and making disciples of the entire world. Will you do it? Father, bless your word that's been preached. Bless the presentation that I gave in the report of the work in New Guinea. Lord, be with your church here and use them in your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.